How many of you know you can't outgive God? So we give away Mike and Debs to go minister at other churches, and how cool is he gives us back somebody to come minister in our church? And a lot of times when guest speakers come to a church, I've had to introduce them. I've known them for 15 minutes, you know, and I'm like, oh, here's the guy, you know. You read some kind of bio. These kind of people aren't registered in minutes, our relationship with them, or years. It's registered in decades, the connection that our church has with Ivor and Jackie and the church they led in Victoria and are still part of. They're part of the apostolic ministry. So what Mike and Deb are doing on their trip, Ivor and Jackie are doing right now here just up the road with us. So we love them. We just want to pray for them. Lord, I thank you for Ivor and Jackie. Lord, thank you for their ministry for decades. And Lord, for the partnership we've had together. Lord, we just ask for great freedom this morning. For Ivor and for what you want to do, Lord, we tune our hearts. We make the road ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you want that thing or the other one?
No, I'll take this. Thanks, Mark. Great to be with you guys again. It's always good to be with you. We really enjoy this church, enjoy the relationships. Love you, pastors. Mike was just down at Trinity, and we happened to be home for that, and he brought a prophetic encouragement to the church there, and we really appreciate it. One of the things he brought a number of different words prophetically and then preached, and one of the words that he brought was that there were some wells that we needed to dig up at Trinity. There were some old wells of the past that we've tapped into. So I thought it was kind of interesting this morning in what I felt God wanted me to bring. There's so many things you could bring, you know, you're itching to bring to a church. But I felt the Lord really wanted me to speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues. And our church just happens to be kind of birthed 50 years ago in the charismatic move. Next year will be our 50th celebration. And fortunately, Mark's picked up on that. He's going to do a big deal. Year jubilee, 50 years, that's pretty big. But there's some sort of things that we've drawn from in the past, and when Mike shared that, I thought, well, what are some of these things? And I think certainly one of them is just the whole baptism. We enjoy that now. We speak in tongues, and we have the understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in the past, there's people who paid a price for that. Like all of the different values that we have, and we take so for granted, even salvation by faith, you know, there's people who gave their lives for that. And certainly is for Trinity. I mean, we were the happy, clappy bunch that were kind of into speaking in tongues and sort of looked down on in our early days. Sang all these wild songs like, this is the day, this is the day. We got to resurrect some of those songs, don't we? I mean, edgy, real edgy stuff, you know. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, we thought we were really edgy anyways. But I'm going to speak on that this morning. I find that speaking in tongues is a tremendous value in my own life, something that allows me to mine into the Holy Spirit being released in my life. There are the ways that God does that, of course. And I get a bit of a double whammy here for the Bible school, being invited on Tuesday night to come and share specifically on the anointing. So for those of you who will be there, this is a kind of a prequel to it. It's a foundation kind of thing to it, but we're going to talk about more in the Bible school. But I really am enjoying this opportunity to speak on a favorite subject of mine. I know this is a place where the Holy Spirit is enjoyed. It was great in the worship this morning, wasn't it? Just to enjoy God. I hope you tapped into that. Bible says, come and drink. If you're thirsty, come and drink. So that means you can just be thirsty and sit there in a pool like this can be offered to you on a Sunday morning. And you don't step into it and drink. You have that opportunity. We're exhorted to drink. And that word means drink and keep on drinking. Then it's possible to just go through a service like this and go, gee, a lot of nice, friendly people. It's kind of a place you can connect. And it's trendy and nice church, you know. I don't know. I've been around a long time, 40 years in the Lord, and that's not enough to satisfy me, I want to tell you. I want God. Without God, I'm really not interested. It's just religion. And we want to press in. I'm glad this is a church that wants to press into God. I felt the Lord give me a word for you. I just kind of smelt it and felt it. It's every time you go somewhere, you kind of want to pick something up. But this thing is just very strong on me this morning, and I feel like God is saying he's immobilizing something here. He's immobilizing an army. Now, that's a word you could bring to any church. God is always immobilizing us. Oh, immobilizing, sorry, yeah. Cut that out of the tape. He doesn't want to immobilize you. It's good to have a doctor around and a wife, you know. Yeah, protecting you. I felt three parts to that. The first part is team. I feel like God wants you to know that now it's a now word, it's a now time. God is mobilizing this church. There are different seasons in churches, and it's not like we put other values out or other directions out. We continue to embrace those, but there are different seasons in churches where this is what God is on. And I feel like the Lord wants to exhort you. This is a time of mobilizing, not immobilizing. And one of the words the Lord wants you to hear is the word team. I think a lot of people don't mobilize in the sense of pressing in, being a part. I kind of felt, even driving here this morning, I could kind of hear the traces of the horses. I could hear the whinnies of them getting ready to go. I could hear the slap of swords. Just all the sound that has to do with an army kind of getting ready to go out, you know. And I feel like God is doing that with this church. His church has always been mobilizing. This church has always been going out. And I feel like it's a season. I feel like God has brought some ingredients to you here where he is saying now is the time. And God is going to give you much further impact, much greater impact as you embrace team. The first word is team. And a lot of people I found over the years pull back from being mobilized with a local church team and the teams that make up a local church team because of independence. But whatever reason that people shy away from team. And I feel like the Lord wants to say to you, get over yourself. It's time to get over yourself. It's time to lay down your life. It's time to be willing to pay the price for team. It's time to pull together as one. It's time to recognize the value there is in the team, into loving one another is not just a good suggestion, it's absolute necessity for us. You know, every country has got its own kind of triumphs over the years, and we sort of look to them and celebrate them in war. And one of Canada's is Vimy Ridge. Pierre Burton wrote a real good book called Vimy. I've read it a number of times. I encourage you to read it. It's just got some great parallels to what God has called us to do. My grandfather was at Vimy Ridge, so I love reading it, trying to figure out where he was in it all, in that quagmire. The French lost over 100,000 people there. Before the Canadians came along, the British lost over 100,000 people. And then the Canadians were just starting to be formed as an army. We weren't even a complete country at that time. We didn't have our 10 provinces. We were just sort of coming together as a nation, and we were supposed to just tuck in with the British. The whole story that you can read in the book, how God, I believe, orchestrated us having our own army in the First World War. But all that aside, the Canadians came in there and said, they said, hey, just kind of hold this, you know, we're kind of running out of men. The Canadians, you want to be your own army? Fine, just hold this. And the Canadians said, no, we were going to take the hill. It's a beautiful read. I'm trying to encourage you with it. But one of the interesting things in there that Pierre Burton brings out, and you can read this in other military books and movies, and that is that Pierre Burton brought out the whole fact of those men that were thrown together, just the camaraderie that came out of that. The having to lay your life down for the other men around you, not just because you were falling in love with them, but because you're absolutely dependent on the rest of those men. Why would men go over the top? If you look at the First World War, it's absolutely insane, you know. They're just mowed down on both sides. You know? Why would men do that? Pierre Burton found over and over again in interviewing people that this was the one common defactor. I didn't want to let down my mates, you know. I was scared spitless, but I didn't want to let down my mates. And I feel like God wants to say to us, this is more important than you realize, this building a team. It's not, I don't know, I like doing my own thing. I kind of like have my own story. You're going to have to lay some of that down. I believe God's calling you to do that. The second word is training. There is some training. I don't care how much training you've had before. There's some training that God is wanting to bring in this church. And you need to step up to that. You need to become a volunteerian. You know, on one hand, we're all conscripted. You come to Christ and you didn't know what you were getting into, did you? Thought you had problems before you came to Jesus. Where do you get saved, you know? As long as you're kind of going with the flow, the devil just kind of leaves you around, smacks you around anytime he wants. But suddenly you start going against the flow. Wow, we're at war here. Nobody told me this. What happened to the bed of roses I was going to heaven on, you know? In one sense, we're all at war, and that's why we're encouraged to stand in who we are in Christ. But there is this warfare that we're called to together, this battle, this taking ground that we're called to together. And it requires some training, but it also just requires you stepping up to that. You can be in this army and just sit on the sidelines and let others take the hits and say, that's not really me. I'm not really called to anything important. You know, the interesting thing about wars, you know, I love reading, I love watching war movies, is that there's a lot of unsung heroes, isn't there? You know, there were only certain people could be pilots, ace pilots. They were the kind of guys in most of the wars that get all the attention and the lauding, you know, and this great guy, this Tom Cruise ace here. But how about all the people behind, you know? The guy who put the gas into the plane, is he any less important than the guy who's the pilot? Try and be a pilot without the gas, that's all I'm saying. You know. Well, the guy who checked the air in the tires, you know, what about the guy who put the ammunition in there? You know? And I think a lot of times people don't step up to team and to be counting for him because they feel like, well, what's in it for me, you know? Nobody notices me, you know? I just really want to encourage you, whether anybody notices you or not, you are noticed in heaven. And we're going to be amazed when we get to heaven to see where the real accolades go, aren't we? God's got a different economy. And the third one that I have for you is traces. I feel like God wants to say to you, team, training, and traces this morning, and that is get into the traces, step into it. Step into it. Whatever God's called you to be, find out what it is. Get in the mix of things here. Don't just hang on the edges. Get in and count, because God wants this church to take some ground, and it's going to take some ground, and it's great to be a part of that, isn't it? That's got nothing to do with what I want to share. What I'd really like to share with you is found in the New Testament somewhere in the Bible. Let me just read one of those verses in Acts that speaks of speaking in tongues. You got this day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Jesus said, wait until you receive power. Those disciples took him at his word. They waited. There's this great outpouring of the Spirit. Fire falls on people. A great mighty rushing wind. The place is shaking, I suppose. We shouldn't be surprised if God shows up in the earth that there are some kind of shaking, something happens. You should know when God shows up. But this common factor happens through the New Testament. It says in verse 4 of chapter 2 of Acts, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the one common factor that runs through the different accounts. I won't read them all. Let me go to Acts 19 and verse 1. While Paulus was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul placed his hands on them, so it was a purposeful thing. Paul placed his hands on them. It says the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So I just want to kind of encourage you with this whole, there's this interesting thing that happens to us. We come to Christ, some kind of faith builds up us. We don't understand it all. Somebody shares the gospel with us, something stirs in us. There's a faith to reach out And we reach out beyond our understanding and say, God, I don't get it all, but I need you. Come into my life. And guess what? He does. We begin to see God working in our life, and a new heart is given to us, and all these promises start to be fulfilled. And we say to Jesus, when we come to him, I want you to be Lord of my life. And Jesus has got this interesting little test for us if we want him to be Lord of our life. He's got something really dumb for us to do. He says, great, you want me to be Lord of your life? Here's the first test. Let's seal the deal, this death you just received on the cross. Let's seal the deal. Something gets imparted into you when we dunk you down under the water. We put you right under, we immerse you in the water. No matter how you try and exegete the words around water baptism, it just doesn't fly to do anything but put you underneath the water because we want a picture of death. I don't like going underneath water. I don't know how many things I've heard under the years. No, I that's dumb, you know. Well, I was sprinkled when I was a baby and all this stuff starts coming out. Wait a minute. Who's Lord of your life, you know? There's a lot of dumb things I'm going to ask you to do, things you don't understand. Not really dumb in the light of eternity, in the light of heaven. You're already a way out on the water, you know, believing in this God who created the universe, and somehow he's going to come and live inside of you. I mean, take the next step. Go underneath the water. And then, as you go underneath the water, we got a third thing for you. It didn't have to happen in this order. Sometimes the order is differently. But here's a third experience. And I'm sure you've heard about it if you've been attending this church here. One of our values. This Holy Spirit, this Jesus that you've received on the inside of you, this Holy Spirit that is in you, wants to be released. There is a release that happens. It's not a one-time. It is a one-time in the sense of the hands are laid on you, the Holy Spirit comes on you, you have the power to step into the gifts, especially speaking in tongues, but it's not meant to be a one-time thing only. It just is the initiator. It's like saying, Jesus, well, who's Jesus? I accepted him 40 years ago on a beach in Australia. No. You accept Jesus, and now he begins to work in your life, and you build relationship with him. You get to know him and his plan for your life. So it is with this baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there is a release when that happens of tongues. Some people don't speak in tongues. I'm going to pray at the end of this service for you to be released. And we've had some success over the years. People say, well, no use praying for me. I've been prayed for hundreds of times, or many, many times. Boom, you start praying for them, they start speaking in tongues. It's fun, you know. But what I want to share with you this morning is just the value of tongues. And this message is called, We Get to Speak in Tongues. Look at that. Oh, my goodness, is that how small my... Yeah, I said to him, I got a feeling that's small. That is really small. Can anybody see that back there? You better bump it up a little bit if you can, if you got the time. Sorry about that. That's my PowerPoint. I'm so edgy, you know. Right out there. I used to use 28. The last time I was somewhere, I had 28, and I just happened to turn back. There was this tiny little writing on the thing. Oh, you better bump it up. So I went all the way up to 32. I mean, hey, give me a break. Look at this. I'm way out there already. Anyways, what's this got to say? The guy who started our church was Harold Bredesen. He's died and gone to the Lord. He was one of the movers and shakers and international voices of the charismatic move. And God kind of pulled him out of that and said, here, I want you to plant a church in Victoria. There's an interesting book called Yes, Lord. You can read all about that story. He fought and resisted the Lord and thought it was a crazy idea to come to a little place called Victoria. But he was initiated the birthing of this place, and I had the privilege of working with him for a couple of years. Just God's smile. It was wonderful. But Harold used to do this. He used to go around the world and share on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to draw on that well this morning. But it's Harold who said this. People said, everywhere I go, people say, do I have to speak in tongues? Harold said, no, you don't have to speak in tongues. You get to speak in tongues. Do I have to serve God? No, you get to serve God. Do I have to surrender my life to him? No, you get to surrender your life to him. Oh, we're talking about the God who created the universe, by the way. That's sextillion, they call it, they tell us now. There's more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand in all of the earth. Woo! That's big stuff, isn't it? I mean, we're not talking about all the grains of sand in the Sahara Desert. That would be impressive, wouldn't it? All the grains of sand on any particular beach? No, all the grains of sand you can come with up with in all of the earth, they found out now that there's more stars out there in the universe than all of that. And guess what? Somebody just spoke all of that into being. Just said, let it be. And let it be. Let it be. And it was. And he wants to come and live inside of me by his spirit. I get to hang out with him. Do I have to? Really? We get to speak in tongues. Anyways, I want to give you a number of reasons, a number of things, because I want to stir you up. Most of you have the gift of speaking in tongues. Some you don't. We want to release you this morning. But I just want to give you a reminder, because I find everywhere I go, I'm sure it's not in this church, I was kind of resisting bringing this word, but there are a lot of churches that I go into, they don't even speak in tongues. They don't think, how can you be in our togetherness? This is what sets us apart, you know. So I want to stir it up. I would like to stir it up with you. I'm sure this is for somebody this morning. But my first one is to walk in the Spirit. Why we get to speak in tongues? Because God's called us to walk in the Spirit. We're flesh beings. We're called to walk in the flesh. But we are spirit beings at the same time. And God wants to release that spirit into our flesh beings to allow us to walk out everything he's called us to walk out in life. You get to speak in tongues. God wants to release that to make you more sensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit. He wants to loose his power in you. Paul said, I'm glad that I speak in tongues more than all of you. God wants to sensitize us to the things of the Spirit. The more you press into him, the more that he asks you to do, the more he gives you to do, the more it pushes you into God. It's one of the fun things of responsibility. On one hand, you got a responsibility. On the other hand, God has to show up. Fulfill the responsibility that he's given you. We want to draw on his power. We want to be sensitive to him, what he is saying and wanting to do at any time. I recommend tongues to you. Fill up all of that dead space in your day. Everybody's got dead space. It doesn't matter how busy you are. When you're sitting in the car, what are you thinking about? Yeah, there are some things you have to think about. But I really encourage you, give some of that time over to just speaking in tongues. You say, well, I've tried speaking in tongues and, you know, it's kind of dry. Yeah, it often is like that, you know. But you know what I found? The more you speak in tongues, the less dry it is. The less of the downtime, the less of the dry time. And it's like a well. Therefore, with joy you shall draw waters out of the well of the Holy Spirit. It's like a well. It's like you have to go down and prime the pump. And one of the ways of priming the pump is just speaking in tongues. You don't have to do it out loud. You can do it in your cubicle at work. You can do it in your car. You can do it sitting in your house. Nobody needs to do it. The more you speak in tongues, you start kicking into the anointing without even opening your mouth. But there's an added dimension when you can't open your mouth. So I want to encourage you to do that. Learn to tap in to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and just draw from him. He wants to lose power in your day. Everything he's called you to do, guess what? It's impossible. I've got great news for you. What he wants you to do is impossible. It's impossible to do what God has called us to do. It's impossible to be what he's called us to be. You want every tool. You want every weapon. You want everything you can to walk out what God has called you. You want everything of God released in you to be everything he's called you to be. Everybody said amen. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Second one I've got is power to serve. Acts 1:4 says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's a promise from Jesus. Jesus is making this promise to his disciples, the same disciples that in John 20 he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
oh, wait a minute. The guys who he already breathed on and received the Holy Spirit, he's saying wait until the Holy Spirit comes on with you and you endued with power on high. Guess what? Every one of us has the Holy Spirit in us right now. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Father is in heaven. It's by the Holy Spirit that Jesus comes into your life and is made real into your life. It is by the Holy Spirit that the Father is made real to you. And Romans 8 tells us if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have Christ. So you've already got the Holy Spirit. Let's make that really clear. We're not talking about now suddenly getting the Holy Spirit. We're talking about releasing what you already have to overflowing. I want him released, don't you? I want his power released in me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, verse 8, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. God wants you to release power in your life, not so that you will shine in the dark and lightning bolts will come out of your fingertips and everybody will stand in awe of you. No, God wants to release power in you to accomplish what he's called us to. He's called us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, right here in Nanaimo, our Jerusalem, Judea, in this region around here, Samaria, anything that's cross-cultural within our region. And, by the way, the uttermost parts of the earth. God wants to loose his power in us. There's an interesting book from the past. It's called Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger. Anybody read that book here? It'd be interesting to see how many. Whoa, young people putting their hand up. Very good. Wonderful. That's kind of a book from back in the day, you know. But I recommend it to you. You can get it on Amazon. Download the Kindle app on whatever device you have. And it's about $9. I went and checked out whether it was there. My copy is getting a bit dog-eared, but it's an interesting story of a British girl, young single girl, who went to Hong Kong. Everybody told her not to do it. Went into the inner city, the worst part of Hong Kong. Evidently, they've cleaned all that up, but there was an inner city. An amazing story of how she goes in there and just starts leading one person after another to the Lord. Drug addicts, prostitutes, just the lowest gang members, you know, and heads of gangs. And here's this young single girl. It's just a great adventure read for everybody else to read, except my daughters, of course, her granddaughters. It's for everybody else's kids to read. That is a great story. But here she is already having success at winning these people to the Lord. She starts at a little street church right in the worst part of the city and just starts getting people saved and doesn't really know what she's doing. And then she just starts facing burnout. So the story in the book, if I remember, she goes back to America and just to take a break. And in there she hears about a charismatic leader who's talking about speaking in tongues and the release of God's power. So she goes to see, somebody convinces her to go to the conference. She goes along, she gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about here, gets a release of tongues, goes back to Hong Kong again, refreshed and filled up again, and commits herself to 15 minutes every day to speak in tongues. That's her story. She says that in speaking 15 minutes in tongues, being committed to that every day, the effectiveness of what she was doing was absolutely exponentially knocked off the charts, you know. So this is what I'm talking about. It's not just kind of talking. We're talking about the real thing here. God wants to release power. This is one of the ways that he releases power. I was running a Bible school for many years, and in that Bible school we brought a guy in, used to work with World Map, and his name's Costa Dyer. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But Costa Dyer told us the story to our students, and in the story, he said that he never set this up. He was just crying out to God for more of his power. He felt God tell him to plant a church in the Middle East. I had this church going, have very minimal kind of effects and breaking through the culture and everything. And so he was crying out to God, God, send me a revival. God, send me your power. He started waking up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, and for half an hour, he just spoke in tongues straight out. He said, I didn't try and manufacture it. It's not like, gee, I set my clock or anything. Half an hour, at the end of half an hour, it would stop. And then he said at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the same thing would happen. You know, now, what is going on for this? This goes on for about a week, I think it was. And then it starts being an hour in the middle of the night and an hour in the day without him orchestrating anything, just being obedient, allowing the Holy Spirit to go. He gets up to doing 2 hours in the middle of the night and 2 hours in the day. You want to try that? You know, God's not on that. That's a pretty hard thing to do. But the amazing story is he started wondering, what is going on here? I mean, just I'm taking all my time praying in tongues. He said after the end of the week where he was doing it 2 hours in the middle of the night and 2 hours during the day, he got up to speak to his congregation, and the power of God just fell on everybody. Without him doing anything, he just got up to speak. Boom, everybody was on the floor crying out to God. And then just miracle after miracle happening. People started pouring into the church. Arabs would come across the desert. He said this happened numerous times. They would bang on his door in the middle of the night saying, what is going on? What is going on? He said, what do you want? You know, I don't know what's happening. Something drew me to your house and to your door. God's got an adventure for us, you know. It's fun to follow him. And as Costa Daya pointed out to us, this isn't a formula I'm giving. I'm just telling you what happened to me. But he was exhorting us to speak in tongues. I'm exhorting you. God wants to release power in your life. The third reason is that God wants to give us an anointing to pray. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Wow. I don't know how to pray. Here's the number one key to good prayer. We don't know what to pray for. That's a good foundation to start at, you know. That's a good way to start. But guess what? God knows what he wants us to pray for. And we come to the table with kind of sense and things that we think we should pray for. But God wants to supersede that with the things that are on his heart. And if we will allow the Holy Spirit to be released. Paul said, I pray with my mind, with my understanding, and I pray with my spirit. There's a difference. I'm praying what I feel I'm supposed to pray, but then I just kick over into tongues and allow the Holy Spirit to pray. And there's an anointing that gets released on that as God begins to give us revelation. You really feel impressed and pray for Mark, you know, one morning. And you can think of everything that Mark needs you to pray for and his family and what he's doing. And you can put all those things in there. And I don't know what to say anymore. Bless Mark, you know. Boom, I just find myself going into tongues. And as I go into tongues, just an anointing starts coming. God starts showing me some things on Mark's heart. Things he wants me to pray for. And sometimes God says, phone him up. Tell him, here's what the Lord says. And it's kind of fun. God confirms it. Wow, look at that, eh? You know, you could pray for hours and hours and hours. Some people wonder, how can you pray for an hour? You know, I don't know how you can pray for less than an hour. But it's very hard to pray for an hour if you're not praying in tongues. But people do that. But boy, that's hard slogging, you know? Now, that's not to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't get released when we pray. I think it's one of the means of releasing, but I really like the dynamic of tongues and just going in and out of tongues. I don't be like Paul. Pray with my understanding and pray with my spirit. There's a great adventure. God wants to put stuff on your heart that'll blow your mind, you know. Things that he's doing in the earth. My fourth one is the anointing to worship. Very similar. Romans 8:15 says, for we do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. It takes the Holy Spirit to bring us into the intimacy that God has called us to with our bridegroom. Especially us men, it takes the Holy Spirit to bring us into that kind of intimacy. God wants us to have more intimate relationship with himself than we have with anybody else on this earth. That's very hard to do if you just tell me, hey, guess what, you're the bride. Yeah, that's a big jump for me right there, you know, I want you to know. And he's the bridegroom, and you're supposed to love him. Good luck to you, you know. I want to release the anointing, whatever it takes to release the anointing, to inspire me with the dynamic of that and enter into that kind of relationship, because he's not just the bridegroom, he's my father. He's my friend, my closest friends. He's the comforter. He has all of these different things, and he wants me to enter into that relationship, and I can only do it by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. I want to release that Spirit, Because guess what? Everything that God has called you and I to do comes out of the relationship that we have with Him and a revelation of who He is. A revelation of who it is that's living inside of me and wants to work through me. And that relationship comes out of intimacy. That's why God wants us to spend time in His presence, you know. I mean, we come to God saying, give us your power, you know. Well, God wants to give us His power. But guess what? Relationship comes out of intimacy. That's what all this was about this morning. It always is when we get together. I love the Lord. I enjoy intimacy with Him. I love His presence that gets released when I pray and praise Him and have my time with Him at home. But I found that there is nothing that I can do by myself. I think maybe if I was stuck on an island somewhere, you know, or in jail or somewhere where I was cut off from the body of Christ. But if you cut me off from a local church, it's like, take my head and cut it off, you know. Because there's something of God that I need every day, every week. Every time they open the doors of this church, I want to be there. I want to be in a place where God's presence is valued and encouraged and released. Because it's out of that intimacy that everything else comes. Stepping into His power is by faith. We're going to talk about that on Tuesday night. But His presence comes out of relationship, intimacy with Him. That's what worship is all about. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. You know, one of the revivals of Canada is interesting reading history of Canada, but one of the revivals that happened while I was being born was in 48-49 North Battleford. And there's different distinctions about different moves of God, different things that were released. But from what I can gather, our church was really, one of its foundation parts was North Battleford, Saskatchewan. If you've been there, you really wonder, you know, kind of like Azusa Street. You go, this is it, you know, this old building here. Can anything good come out of Saskatchewan? Oh, yes, it can. But one of the distinctions of the North Battleford move of the Holy Spirit was this whole thing of speaking in tongues, but singing in tongues. Evidently, for hours, they would just get caught up in the Spirit. I know that happened at Azusa, but it really got released into another dimension. It kind of set up, I think, the whole charismatic move that came after it. But one of those things was just hours of singing in the tongues. You know, we were encouraged a number of times here to do it this morning. I love being part of worship where they just give lots of gap for God to do something, you know. And this morning, just that time where we're encouraged to kind of sing, and you get off singing in English, next thing you're singing in tongues, you're going back in English. You can actually do that for hours, you know, if the Holy Spirit lifts you up into it. Well, I think it's something God wants to tap us into again. My fifth one is to build us together. God hasn't just called us me and Jesus, you know. Me, myself, and Jesus. No, He's called us into team. We were talking about it at the beginning here and building team. And as I was saying before, that's miraculous. What God wants us to do is really impossible. He wants all of us from all of our different backgrounds and things to come together. And He wants us to love one another. You know, they say that you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family, you know. I found that you can't do either in the kingdom. I didn't pick my family, and I didn't pick you. I want you to know that, you know. Any local church I've been involved with, you look around, you know. How did I get in with this group here? But God put us all together. God brought us. God arranges where we will live, the times and seasons of each of us and where we will live. God brought us together here, and God says, I want you to learn to lay your life down and love the rest of this people. I want you to build something together, and that has to come out of team. So you're going to have to lay aside all of your desires, me and my and what I want, and die to all of that. Pick up the vision that God is giving the leaders of this church and pull together, adding whatever vision God gives you. He certainly does want to release vision and direction to you, but in the context of this bigger picture. There's three Greek words that mean power. We know one of them is dunamis. We like that one. It's an explosive dynamite type. It's where we get the word dynamite comes out of dunamis. Power, the one we find in Acts 1:8. Second one is exousia. It's power based on authority. John 1:12 says, to as many who received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. But the third one is kratos. It means to complete or to perfect. Acts 19, verse 20 says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily. The word of the Lord brought completion, brought favor, brought the things that were being initiated by the word. It brought a completion of that. That's the kind of power that we want to release when we come together. Why we need to work together and pull together and release the Holy Spirit by whatever means God wants us to release the Holy Spirit. One of those is tongues, because God wants us to build together. God's got an army marching through the land. 2 Chronicles 3:15. How are we doing? Have I got time to share this? I like sharing it. Okay? You don't know how many more points I've got. That's why I can just get you smiling there. 2 Chronicles 3:15 says, in the front of the temple he made two pillars, which together were 35 cubits long, each with a capital on top measuring 5 cubits. He made interwoven chains and put them on top of the pillars, so it was even higher than that. And he also made 100 pomegranates and attached them to the chains. And he erected the pillars in the front of the temple, one on the south and one on the north. And the one to the south was named Jachin, which means he establishes. And the one to the north was Boaz, which means he is strength. You're looking at me like I expected you to. What has that got to do with the price of bread? Well, here's what it has to do. All of those temples in the Old Testament, we know, are pictures of the church God wants to build. Hebrews tell us that that's even a picture of the church we will one day enjoy in heaven together. But each of them, we know you can just spend hours reading those different things and seeing the different analogies for what God has called us to. So each of the tabernacles has different things to say to us. But I think one of the things that Solomon's tabernacle has to say to us, this here, God puts these massive pillars. I mean, there's a lot of expense. It tells us in the Old Testament that the amount of bronze that went into the building of the tabernacle of Solomon could not be counted. They couldn't figure out the worth of it. It was just so much. You couldn't weigh it. And one of the reasons was because of these two pillars. One is, they're both 27 feet high with 18-foot circumference and 3 to 4 inches thick of bronze. Wow. I mean, that's a commitment, you know. This is directly God saying, don't build this any other way. Don't build it according to how you want to build. God says this numerous times through Samuel's and Chronicles. God said, build it exactly how I tell you to build it. Here's the exact dimensions of this tabernacle. I want you to coat everything with gold inside. They figure it's about $650 million worth of gold in today's prices went into just the covering on the inside of this thing. I mean, this is an opulent picture. Ian. But I want you to build these two things of bronze. Bronze costs a lot of money, Lord. Build them just the way I tell you to build them. 4 inches thick, 27 feet high, 18 feet around or inches around or whatever it was. Because I want to give a picture for all eternity. And their picture is this, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. You need my strength. You need my favor, my establishing power to establish the things that you want to establish here, and the power to go out and do the things I've called you to do in the earth. My sixth one is that it's assigned to unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 14:21 says, in the law it is written, though men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, right? I mean, that's why 3,000 people got saved, besides the favor of God being released into the crowd. But they all looked around. They were from all over the world at the Feast of Pentecost, and they went, how is these unlearned fishermen can be speaking my language with such clarity and such perfection, you know? And one of the reasons God wants us to speak in tongues, I'm just tucking it here on the end, is because he wants to get people's attention. I was telling you about Harold Bredesen starting our church. He had a ministry to up and outers around the world. He led people like Anwar Sadat to the Lord. I mean, real significant people. He used to come with these amazing stories. We gobble it all up, you know, of where he'd been now. But one of the stories he used to like to tell is going into an office somewhere. I can't remember where it was. I think it was in the Middle East. But he was going to see this leader, and like most leaders will do, he was kept waiting in the waiting room. There was another lady there. He said it was a beautiful, erudite-looking Middle East lady. He went over and started talking to her about the Lord. She wasn't interested, obviously tried to put him off. And eventually he said to her, like Harold was wont to do, he said, well, do you mind if I pray for you? She said, yeah, okay, you know. So he starts praying for her and just bursts right into tongues, full blast tongues. And he opens his eyes and the lady is weeping. And she said, how is it possible that you, somebody obviously from the West, could understand perfectly this very rare ancient Egyptian language? She said, I have made my life study of that language. You were speaking it perfectly. And not only that, you're speaking to me and calling me to believe in Christ. And she breaks down and accepts the Lord, you know. God can do that, you know. He doesn't do it all the time. But you never know who's listening when you speak in tongues, you know. You think nobody's listening. We've had lots of experiences over the years at Trinity, people just coming in, somebody Japanese, and they're sitting beside somebody, and in worship, they just belt out in Japanese, and they say, oh, start talking to them in Japanese after the service. They said, I don't understand Japanese. Somebody you might have an opportunity to talk to is Jesse and Claire Mason. We used to be on this team. Claire, Jesse passed away a few years ago, and the year that he passed away, Jackie and I felt to go and just spend some time with Claire down in California, and we thought we were coming to comfort her. We were just blown away, you know. Stories that lady has of all of the things that happen in the charismatic move. Well, one of the beautiful stories I remember is around speaking in tongues. She was part of a poor farm family. Her father had died when she was young, and her mother was a widow, and her mother came to Christ, and she started up a home group in her farm house because there was no other place to go. And people used to come there and they'd have prayer together. One time a guy came who was Japanese, and he said, wow, how can you understand Japanese perfectly like that? She said, I don't. I was just speaking in tongues. And this amazing story is, you know, like we did here in Canada, they did in the United States. They took the Japanese when the war broke out, and they took all of their possessions away from them. That was very nice of us. And then we put them inland. Well, they did the same thing. And this farm that her mom was on was in an area where there was a Japanese camp, an internment camp. And this guy who was in their meeting, a year before the internment, he was a Christian. The Lord spoke to him and said, sell everything you have and move to Idaho. He didn't understand why. He said, okay, Lord, in obedience to do, I'm going to do it. But because he was obedient, he lived outside of the camp. He didn't have to be in that camp. But he saw it as a ministry. He went in and ministered in the camp. And he said, Claire was telling us that this guy would come to the meeting. Claire's mom would burst into tongues from time to time in perfect Japanese. And they were messages for people who were in the camp. He would go back to the camp with messages like, your son has been shot down over China, you know, but don't worry, he's safe. I've got him safe. He's in a prison camp. He's going to live, you know, all just specific detail about people. I just thrown that in the pot. Stir you up. This is my last point. Number 7, to speak to the church. One of the ways God wants to speak to the church is through tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:27 says, if anybody speaks in a tongue, 2 or the most 3 should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Would that was a problem today, most of us would say, you know. It seems what happened in the Corinthian churches is that Paul writes 1 Corinthians 14 not to stop the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hello, everybody. You just can't buy that. Any way you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, it's not there. I'm sorry. But we know there's a whole bunch of the churches building a doctrine that just isn't right. What he is trying to speak in is the use of the gifts, bringing some sort of order into the service, not by stopping the gifts, but saying, look, you guys are jumping up. There's one thing to be speaking in tongues yourself, your communication, your prayer language with the Lord, and as it tells us, when we speak in tongues, we have direct access to God. That's one thing, but to just shout it out like a prophecy to the church. I think so many people were shouting out, getting inspired, coming with tongues. Paul is saying, listen, if you're going to do that, what good is it to us? Unless it comes with an interpretation. This gift of the Holy Spirit, one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, is not what we're talking about when we're talking about speaking in tongues. There's a personal language of speaking in tongues for us personally. It's there. I've been touching on it. But there is a time where God wants to use it, and you get the anointing comes on you, and you get the sense, this is not for me, this is for the church. When you come up and take the mic and say, I feel like I got a tongue, you belt that thing out, well, there better be an interpretation according to word. Otherwise, what's the use of it for us, you know? We've got a gal in our church who's prophesied for years, and she, from time to time, just does that. When she brings a prophesy, she actually gives a couple of lines in tongues, and then she gives a couple of lines in English. Doesn't have to do it that way. Sometimes the interpretation that needs to come will be from you, but it's great just to wait and see if God will use somebody else to bring the interpretation. I love doing that. I encourage you with that gift of the Holy Spirit. That's all I have to say. But I really would love to pray for some people, obviously, this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll come up. That's okay. Got a few minutes here. Some of you may have to go. But I would really love to pray for anybody who's never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this third part of sealing your salvation. You come to Christ, you're going to go to heaven, you've got your fire insurance, you may even have been under the water, that's great, sealed the deal. But now there's something more of God he wants to release in you. I want to encourage you this morning. Let me come and pray for you. You can't work this up, you couldn't work salvation up. It's a gift. Jesus says in chapter 11, verse 11, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if you ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts, everybody underline good gifts, to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to encourage us with two things here. One, it's good what he's offering us. I think some people hear, gee, the creator of the universe, you know, untold stars. This God wants to release his power in me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead wants to be released in me. I don't know whether I want that. Jesus said, hey, this is a good thing the Father's offering you. It's going to be good. It's going to work out. You won't come apart. Don't be worried about what's going to happen to you. Yeah, I don't know about speaking in tongues. You know, that seems a little strange. This is good. And secondly, to those who ask for it, you can't work it up. It's a free gift God wants to give to you this morning. He wants to get you started speaking in tongues, releasing the Holy Spirit, walking out this walk that he's called you to with a whole different dynamic and anointing.